righty. Hour number four of our radio program, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Show, CBS Sports Radio. It's time for the final edition of No Huddle Offense for this past football season. Hot take, Hickey? You know the dealio.
Hit it!
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Three postseason games for the Philadelphia Eagles, and three times they have lost the toss, and the other team has said we'll take the ball coming out of the second half. I know for the Chiefs, it didn't work to start the game, but then it ended up working after halftime. You can't say the same for the 49ers and the Giants, but the Eagles got off to the races to start Super Bowl 57. We thought Kenneth Gainwell had a touchdown, which would have won me a nice chunk of cash. But then it was overturned after review, and Jalen Hurts said, I'll take it in to make it 7-0 on the Eagles' opening drive. Here is Mel Reese on the Eagles Radio Network.
First and goal at the one. Quarterback sneak, and he's in for the touchdown.
That's it. I love Merrill. Opening drive of a Super Bowl, maybe it's because he probably went nuts after the Kenneth Gainwell play, but I thought there'd be a little bit more energy there on the Jalen Hurts QB sneak.
I think you're right. I think the fake out with the Gainwell initial touchdown, then ruled overturned after a replay, I think you lose a little steam after that first one.
It's a Super Bowl, though.
I'm just saying.
I haven't been going nuts.
Also, it's one of those where it's like, it's a touchdown. In the Super Bowl, I get it. But it's the most anticlimactic play you could possibly run. Quarterback sneak, everyone knows you're getting it. He's seen that converted literally every single time. It's just literally a matter of, okay, when are you going to snap it? He's in the end zone, touchdown. You know, it's like, not like, you know, it's not a play that's exciting.
I don't think you, as a Colts fan that has some bad offenses, should be able to use the word anticlimactic and, oh, a touchdown isn't exciting. You should be celebrating anything. You should be appreciating kind of offense.
As the play-by-play announcer of a team in which their offense is one of the best in the NFL this year, that's a different story.
I'm sorry. You got to have a little bit more on that. Eagles answer back, though. Travis Kelce had an 18-yard score, was wide open. This tied the game at 7. Let's go to the legendary Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. Kelce in the game, 6 catches for 81 yards, and the score.
Mahomes in the gun, waving Kelce in motion. Shotgun snap, drifts back free. Cox is on marching spiral pass, near side over the shoulder catch. Caught, touchdown at the goal line. Down the near side, Travis Kelce brings it in, beating Marcus Epps. 18-yard touchdown pass.
Did you see the celebration for this one, Hickey?
When he slipped or was doing the stanky leg, which one?
I was talking about the actual I thought that was a legit slip. I don't think that was a let's fake an injury.
Oh, no, you know. Yeah, he slipped, which is funny.
Yeah, because the grass or turf,
that
whatever it was horrible.
Nice little harbinger of things to come.
But I haven't seen the stanky leg done in a long time.
Brought it back.
I don't know. Yeah, you're
with
right.
With the hand motions, too.
Yes.
Like, oh, this is smelly.
Well, one of the players walked up to him and was like, oh, it's stanky too. They must have rehearsed that.
Juju.
Yeah.
So, of course, Juju's probably the one who showed him the moves.
Juju probably said, hey, Travis, I don't know if you're on TikTok. I know you're a big podcast star now, but maybe there's a TikTok trend these days of the stanky leg, and maybe Juju Smith-Schuster was actually the one that brought the stanky leg back.
Juju's probably like, look, I'm not getting the end zone, but I know for a fact you're getting the end zone, Travis. So if you score, let's hit it.
Okay. Let's go to AJ Brown. This play was sick. Because when I'm watching this, I thought the ball was going to get intercepted. And then it was perfect ball placement and a good job adjusting by A.J. Brown to beat two defenders for the 45-yard strike. This made it 14-7 in the second quarter. Here is Merrill Reese.
Hurts in the gun. Hurts. This time, fakes. He's back. He's looking deep. He wants A.J. Brown. And it's caught for the touchdown.
A.J. Brown in the game, 6 catches for 96 yards, and that touchdown. Then, right when everything was going Eagles' way, 14-7, You had a penalty on 3rd and 1, Isaac Seumalo, and that moved it back. And then I didn't love this play call, but still, I don't know what Jalen Hurts, what happened here, but he dropped the ball. And the next thing you know, Nick Bolton picks it up and takes it to the house for a touchdown to make it 14-all. Here's Mitch Holthus on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Spread set. Hurts by himself in the backfield. Threat to run and throw. Crouches down. He wants to run it. The ball's out. He kicks the ball. It's picked up by Kansas City. They're going to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. A defensive score by Nick Bolton.
Hickey, I've said this for years. I don't think there's more of an exciting play in the NFL than a fumble that gets picked up and then taken to the house. I don't care what the distance is. Because you just never see that coming. And the next thing you know, the ball is just on the ground and it's picked up. And then that elation, if you're on the right side of it, where you're jumping up and down like a fat kid at a candy store and you're about to have like 7 heart attacks because you can't believe what just occurred.
I would say a punt return or a kickoff return would, for me,
but
be more
But that never
exciting.
Happens anymore.
That's part of it.
Well, the punt return almost happened in this game. But I don't even think there was a kick that was returned.
I think
night.
You're right about that. But that's also that's part of the reason why it's so exciting, because now you rarely see it. And talk about unexpected. That's a total surprise. Anytime you get a punt return now more than 10 yards.
Yeah, I think you're just arguing to argue there. Nick Bolton, 9 tackles and did have that touchdown. That was a game high of 9 tackles. If he would have got that second touchdown, Hickey, if they didn't overturn that Miles Sanders play, which I thought was the right call to overturn, if he had 2 defensive touchdowns, he would have won the MVP of the game.
You're probably right, although if the game sort of somehow, I know they have another touchdown, so it's a little different, but if somehow played out where Mahomes needs a drive, end of the game to win, I'd still probably say he gets the MVP award.
Let's go to Jalen Hurts. Right when he makes a mistake, he answers back. That's why he's a franchise quarterback. Here's a 4-yard rushing touchdown to make it 21-14 with just over 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Let's go to Marco Belletti's best friend, Kevin Burkhart, on Fox.
Now Hurts on the keep. Has a seam, and Jalen Hurts is in for the touchdown.
15 carries for 70 yards for Jalen Hurts at 3 rushing touchdowns. It's the most rushing yards by a QB in Super Bowl history. Your review, Hickey, of Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olsen. They've been phenomenal all throughout the year. I was in the stadium, so I didn't get to catch the entire broadcast, obviously, when it was happening. I didn't get to watch any of it, but I went back and I listened to a lot of it today, and I thought Burkhart and Olsen, from what I heard, I didn't watch the entire game today, but I watched a decent amount of it. I thought they were phenomenal.
Really good. Solid all around. Like, just like if you're doing the regular season, the playoffs, they crush it.
It shows you, too, you don't have to hire the biggest name. You just have to hire the right people.
People want analysts that are good, play-by-play guys that, keep you in it but don't say too much. Like you said, yeah, they do the perfect job, him and Olsen. And you don't need, like I said, a Tom Brady or a Tony Romo name to attract people to watch the game.
Yeah, we also don't know how Brady's going to be as an announcer. But Greg Olsen, he's done a phenomenal job this year. And you know what? The first time I heard Greg Olsen do games was actually the XFL. During the pandemic, when he was calling games with Burkhart on Fox, I'm like, oh, he's pretty good. I wonder how, and we all know Olsen, right, as the football player, so you'd think if he could call XFL games, that would be fine, but you just never know if he's going to be given the opportunity to call NFL games on that 2 team. Then you have Aikman and Buck leave, and then he gets elevated to the 1 team. And I read somewhere today that when he goes back to the 2 team and Brady's there, his salary gets cut from $10 million to $3 million. With all the prices that these broadcasters are getting, I think it's right now a bargain at $10 million. And I would think whoever his agent is, there's some contract renegotiations this year. Because if I'm these other networks, I'm trying to take Greg Olsen. Now, I don't know when Collinsworth deal expires, but remember they failed with Drew Brees. Maybe if you're NBC, you try to pluck Greg Olsen away and put him on a number one team.
Look, now Tony Romo makes a lot of money. If you're CBS, I wonder if you say, at some point, if you get tired of Tony, you make a move. I don't know.
He's on a 10-year deal.
I'm just
that's
don't know.
Guaranteed.
I'm just throwing out that. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit was just hired by Amazon, so it's not like there's a lot of openings for Greg Olsen to slot in number one outside of NBC.
NBC, just because of the age of Collinsworth.
But if he doesn't want to retire, and then I want to move off of him, I don't know what his contract is. What if he's in there for another 5 years? It's tough. That's the only tricky part.
Would you go 3-man booth to get him?
With all the shuffling.
Collinsworth is 64, by the way.
Three-man booths.
I don't usually like three-man booths. I don't like three people in a broadcast booth. I think it's horrible. I think for like radio shows when someone retires and they like try to put like 7,000 people on to replace someone, I think it's a bad idea. I think you need a play-by-play guy and a color guy. But I wonder if you go to a three-man booth just to try to get Olsen away and then you expedite the retirement process of Collinsworth. But then being said, right, they hired Breeze. They put Breeze on the Notre Dame broadcast in the studio. And then after 1 year, they had enough of Drew Breeze. So who knows? We'll see. Anyway, you had the touchdown by Hurts. That got the game back up to 21-14. And then Patrick Mahomes re-injured his ankle after getting tackled by T.J. Edwards on third down just before halftime. Here's Kevin Harlan on Westwood One.
McKinnon at his side, looks into the nickel, low snap on the ground, picked up by Mahomes, moves up in the pocket, dodges a defender, cuts and moves and pump fakes and runs from the 30, pump fakes at the 33 and taken down, and I think he may have hurt his ankle. Mahomes may have hurt his ankle on the tackle made by T.J. Edwards, and he's hobbling on one leg and favoring his right and hobbling dramatically to the far sideline. Not a good sign. Mahomes hobbling on fourth down. They'll punt.
Eagles eventually got into field goal position, and they did go into the half with a 10-point lead at 24-14. On the play where they dumped it off to Kenneth Gainwell and then called a timeout, I thought they should have taken a shot in the end zone, but they did not. They settled for the field goal. You take a 10-point lead going into the half. And then right out of the half, quickly down the field, you have Patrick Mahomes and company, and it gets capped off with Isaiah Pacheco, 1 yard rushing touchdown to cut the deficit to 24-21. Here is Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network.
They hand it off, left guard, it goes, touchdown, Kansas City. Isaiah Pacheco blasting in behind the block of Joe Tooney, the left guard, and the Chiefs get a badly needed touchdown drive on this first drive of the third quarter at 9:30 to go, third quarter.
Pacheco was the leading rusher in the game for both teams, 15 carries for 76 yards and that touchdown. So, Hickey, you went into this game with some crazy reasoning on why the Chiefs would win based off, like, fan support and every – what was your reasoning again?
Basically, the last time I felt bad for a fan base was Seattle Seahawks versus the Broncos Super Bowl. I thought, wow, this is going to be the Broncos Super Bowl. Seahawks fans, I feel bad for you that you're going to be witnessing your team lose. And obviously, as we know, the opposite happened. So remember, because it was Philly dominated this entire week, whether it was fans, whether it was just talking points, whether it was guests. Mm-hmm. So I saw a few Chiefs fans like, oh, wow, kind of felt bad. Like, this has been almost like the Eagles Super Bowl. Like, here you are. And I'm like, oh, wow, the last time I felt bad for a fan base was a decade ago.
Yeah.
And that team, the team I felt bad for, they won. So I said, okay, similar feeling. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Chiefs winning, and it worked out. So I'm 2-for-2.
Yeah, your reasoning is wonderful there. You got the right outcome, but the reasoning is just horrendous. But anyway, what I wanted to ask you was, how nervous were you at halftime, objectively, when it was a 10-point game?
Oh, I thought the game was over. I thought the game was over, honestly, right before Jalen Hurts fumbled the ball. Because that they were going and scoring again at 21-7. I did not think that the Chiefs were going to come back. Very nervous. Mahomes hobbling off the field, down by 10. That was, coming out of halftime, that was the biggest drive of the game.
Okay. And then you had Kadarius Toney get a 5-yard touchdown reception. And this gave the Chiefs the lead in the game for the first time. And this is Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network.
They're going to throw a quick pass to Toney. He's got it on the edge. He will walk into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Kadarius Toney on a pick route to the near side. Couldn't be more wide open. A 5-yard touchdown pass from Mahomes. And now Butker can give the Chiefs the first lead of the game.
So that made it 28-27. There, do you think the Chiefs are winning the game? Or are you still not fully bought in?
Yes.
So that's how quickly you shifted.
Yes.
Gotcha. And then Kadarius Toney was making a push for Super Bowl MVP. He has the longest punt return in Super Bowl history. It was a 65-yard punt return. Got it to the 5-yard line. Let's listen up to Kevin Harlan on Westwood One.
Seabosh will punt and sends it down the middle, looking into the lights. It was retrieved at the 30-yard line by Kadarius Toney. He dances and breaks the tackle, runs laterally on the 35. Blockers ahead, the near side, 40. Blocker at the 50, on the near sideline, the 40. Getting a block at the 30, down the near sideline, the 20. He gets another block at the 10. He spins to the 5. This kid's electric. All gas, no break. Down to the 5. Down to the 5. 65-yard punt return, Kadarius Toney. It is the longest punt return in Super Bowl history.
Now, I don't know how the other calls sound, but so far that's the best call that I've heard, Higgy.
Electric. All gas, no brakes. That was good.
Robert Saleh was enjoying that one somewhere. Oh. All gas, no brake. Besides when he was in New York, there was a lot of braking by Kadarius Toney. But, yeah. And that sequence, and then you had Sky Moore get the four-yard touchdown to make it 35-27, even though there was still 9:26 left in the game. You started to think, okay, Kansas City's going to win. Let's listen up to Mitch Holthus on that Sky Moore touchdown.
In the center of the field with McKinnon, the running back. A fast left side, wide open, Sky Moore, touchdown! Kansas City on a pivot route, and Kansas City has a chance now to get up by 8 points on a four-yard touchdown pass. Mahomes to Sky Moore. Did not have a TD in the regular season. He's got one now.
And that's his first career touchdown. Patrick Mahomes, that's his third passing touchdown in the game. He was 21 of 27 for 182 yards. First off, nice little moment there, your first career touchdown. You see, I think he like spiked the ball and then one of his team or dropped the ball. One of the teammates picked it up and then quickly gave it back to him. So good awareness there on the celebrations all throughout the game with the stanky leg and then the first career touchdown ball. Make sure you're getting it back to Sky Moore. But it's just crazy when I read that stat line again, Hickey. Mahomes, 182 yards passing. I would have never thought the Chiefs would have won the game if he only had 182 passing yards.
Even watching the game, it didn't feel like he had that, you know, that little. It felt like he was just anytime he was on the field, just throwing it all over the yard. But also part of it was he was not on the field that often.
Well, like that was the thing. I was, for a lot of the game, I was more impressed with the run game of Kansas City. Like when the Chiefs were doing well, I was like, wow, they're running the ball. And then you look at the Eagles, I kept saying their backs couldn't run the ball and only Hurts could run the ball for them. Anytime there was adversity in this game, though, Jalen Hurts answered back. Here it was, down 8. 45-yard reception down to the Chiefs' 2-yard line. This is Mauro Reese on the Eagles radio network. And then you will hear Jalen Hurts at a 2-yard rushing touchdown and a 2-point conversion to tie it up 35-all. Let's listen up to Mauro Reese.
He is back. He is going deep. He's got Devontae Smith. And Devontae Smith is out of bounds at the one. Out of bounds at the one. They line up. They push. They sneak. And they're in for the touchdown. No? Let's say yes.
They are.
They are. They are in for the touchdown. A.J. Brown out to the far side. Hurts is going to run. He rolls. And he is in for the touchdown. And we're tied.
Jalen Hurts, 3 rushing touchdowns is a Super Bowl record. Hurts, 27 to 38 for 304 yards and a passing score as well. So 4 total TDs for the Eagles quarterback. That 2-point conversion, Hickey, I still don't know how he got into the end zone.
Very slow developing. It feels like the Chiefs were, you know, there on the edge.
They had 3-4 guys on him.
Well. And again, just when you're squatting 600 pounds, whatever he is, he's tough
heart
to bring down.
That's what you call heart right there. 35 all, 5:20 left in the game. And I thought this was the most magnificent moment from Mahomes in the game. On one ankle, the 26-yard scramble to get to the Eagles 17 with 2:55 remaining. Here's Mitch Holthus on the Chiefs radio network.
Game tied, 35 apiece. Pacheco's the running back. Toney comes in motion. Here comes pressure to the outside. As Mahomes steps up, he's going to scramble. He's at the 40, bad ankle, 30, bad ankle, 20. Tackled from behind down to the Eagle, 18-yard line, a 25-yard scramble. What bad ankle. He is limping back to the huddle. Don't tell me, don't underestimate how tough Patrick Mahomes is.
Yeah, it was insane. That was the highlight play. That was the moment that NFL Films is going to show for years and years to come. Then they'll eventually show right after it the game-winning field goal. But before that, James Bradberry, one timeout remaining for the Eagles, he got flagged for defensive holding on 3rd and 8. This was with 1:54 left in the game. It was an incomplete pass. Eagles look like they're going to get the ball back. They would be down by 3. But you did have what was called defensive holding on James Bradberry. Here's Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olson on Fox.
Mahomes
pressure. Lofting one, end zone incomplete. Juju Smith-Schuster couldn't catch up. There's a flag at the 10. Hang on, there's a penalty.
Prior to the pass, holding, number 24, defense. 5-yard penalty, automatic, first down.
Yeah, that's worst case scenario. You'll see James Bradberry, they're going to say he grabs him. He's got his left hand on his back. I don't know. Mike, listen, I think on this stage, I think you let him play. Obviously, Mahomes thought he saw it.
You heard the surprise in Burkhardt's voice over the flag, and then you heard Greg Olsen just say it. I don't know. With the way that that game was being officiated, all I asked for is consistency. I would not have called it in that spot. I did not think that needed to be called defensive holding. It was not egregious to me. I thought it was very ticky-tack. And then Harrison Butker, McKinnon goes down right when the Eagles are trying to let him score. He goes down at the 2, and eventually Harrison Butker gets a 27-yard field goal to give the Chiefs a 3-point lead with 8 seconds left. Mitch Holtis.
Townsend will hold it. 11 seconds left in Super Bowl 57, 35-35 tie. The kick is good, and Kansas City leads 38-35 with 8 seconds to go in regulation in Super Bowl 57.
And then shortly after that, Hurts gets the ball. You knew that this was, like, now don't get me wrong here. There's no way he was going to be able to throw the ball from where he was into the end zone. Not that they should have lined up like a running back at center like the Cowboys did. But wouldn't you just try to do like a little dump off pass and then start laddering around there, Hickey? At this point, it doesn't really matter,
yeah,
but I was just...
that, or I guess you throw up a Hail Mary, take the 20-15 and hope for a flag.
Tap it up or something like
pass
that.
Pass interference, yeah. You know, and then all of a sudden now you're in position for a field goal to tie the game.
But they never call pass interference on a Hail Mary.
No, but you never, it's egregious. We just saw, you know, a flag that if you want to say it's ticky-tack there, then if you're the Eagles, they're like, okay, well, maybe if we throw it up here, someone gets tackled. I know it's
no
a dog
shot.
Pile, but the odds are slim either way. I'll just say that.
I know. I would have just dumped it off like 5 yards or 20 yards and then start throwing the ball around. But that's not what the Eagles did. Let's hear how it sounded, though. Mitch Holtis of the Chiefs Radio Network as the Chiefs secure another Lombardi Trophy.
Hurts takes the snap. The Chiefs only rushing 2 on a delay. Clock is going to be out of time. And the pass is going to be underthrown. It's incomplete. It's incomplete. Everyone who claims the Chiefs Kingdom will raise a banner above the National Football League again for the second time in 4 seasons. The Lombardi Trophy has a red and gold reflection, a big red reflection. The Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 57.
That sounds a little rehearsed there, Hickey. Is that just me?
I mean, I would expect it to be rehearsed. Like, don't you want to have, you know, you don't want to say the game's over, the Chiefs win. Like,
no, but when you rehearse the call, sometimes I think you could botch it. That was a little botched there. I was like, what the heck is he trying to say there?
Well, I liked it. You don't like that, but I like the passion. Chiefs Kingdom, you're raising another banner.
You could have passion, though. I have no clue what the guy was trying to say there.
We're raising a banner.
Play it from the beginning again.
Hurts takes the snap. The Chiefs only rushing 2 on a delay. Clock is going to be out of time, and the pass is going to be underthrown. It's incomplete. It's incomplete. Everyone who claims the Chiefs Kingdom will raise a banner above the National Football League again for the second time in 4 seasons. The Lombardi Trophy has a red and gold reflection.
Doesn't it sound like he's trying to say something to the doubters? But then he goes, everyone who claims the Chiefs will hang a banner for the...
Everyone who claims Chiefs Kingdom, which is like their fans. Anyone who claims basically be a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a bad final call, but that's just me. I was lost all throughout that. That was the first time I heard it, and then we played it there a second time. I don't know. I like Mitch Holtis. He did a phenomenal job in that game with all those calls we played. The last one, though, it's just like... That's a pass for me. That's a no for me, dog. Right in the words of Randy Jackson. Take a timeout.
Listen up, team. We've got a game to win. So here's the strategy. Deposit $200 at BetUS.com and get $450 immediately to play with. Sign up today at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS. Be like me. Bet for free.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Ah, look who just strolled into the studio. Well, actually, I should probably say, oh, we're back in the studio. I haven't seen Marco Belletti in an entire week. Marco, how you been?
Good for you. Congratulations. I'm sure my wife would say the same thing. She would love it.
You know, you haven't lost your sense of humor. We'll get to the game, but I want to get your thoughts about the game in just a second. But on Saturday, I think was one of the greatest people-watching days I've ever had when I was at the Super Bowl in Arizona, because I went with Perloff and Perloff's friend Sully, who's a great dude, to Waste Management. And I got to thank the folks at DraftKings who hooked us up. So we were in a big tent. It was like all you could eat, all you could drink, all that stuff. And we were looking at holes 10 and 17, not the craziness and all the mayhem on 16th. I've never seen a sporting event as bonkers as, I can't even say lively, because you saw like some people getting carried off on stretchers, but as crazy as Waste Management. And I'm not like this old decrepit guy, so like I'm only 28. This is not old guy yelling at lawn, but I've never seen an event like that.
I've never been. I've heard some stories. I've never been. And I'll admit, golf's also not my thing. But golf and that tournament really have nothing to do with each other.
Well, I love golf.
That's what it feels like.
I love golf. And Perloff said, he goes, I think I saw four golf shots all throughout the day. And I go, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
Because I would look to my left, and you would see these two guys get into a fight, and one dude just got knocked out. Mm. Then you would look to the right. It was these college kids, and they weren't even in this tent, but you just see like down below doing, I have no clue what they were doing. We'll keep it family friendly. I know what they were doing, but use your imagination. And then there was one point I was walking the grounds like away from the tent, which was just stupid. I don't know why, but I wanted to see what kind of the scene was. And I see this girl, she's probably like 22 or 23, just getting carried out on a stretcher, IV already in the arm. And you had like three or four other like people getting carried out, like right behind her. And that event, here's the other thing. I don't know how the golfers concentrate. When I go in golf, I need everyone to shut up and I'll still shank the ball into the woods or hit the ball 5 feet. These golfers have people yelling while they're swinging. Like usually you go to any other golf tournament.
Right, right.
Quiet, please. I know they have people standing with the signs, quiet, please, but you can't get people to quiet down at the Waste Management. But any other golf tournament, everyone is silent. At this one, it's a frat party.
Yeah, I mean, again, haven't been, heard stories. It almost sounds like it's a concert with some golf in the background.
Yes.
Which is just funky.
A concert, but there's a football tailgate crowd. Like, that's what I would say. Like an SEC football tailgate crowd at a concert. If a concert or an SEC football tailgate crowd had a baby, the offspring would be Waste Management.
There you go.
And maybe like the uncle's like a golfer or something like that. So there's some bloodline of golf in the family. I usually don't get stunned by things, right? Because like when you're in this business, you think you see it all in the sports world. You hear about that event, you go, okay, I've been to a lot of other golf tournaments. And like, how crazy can it actually be when you compare it to other sports where you know are just synonymous with jackassery?
Right.
That was the craziest thing I think I've ever seen.
Like I said, I think part of it too is also because it's out of place. It just doesn't feel like it's in the right spot. So it makes it even, I don't know, more dramatic, if you will, to see certain things because you kind of like, you look around, you're like, we are at a golf tournament, right?
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that was absolutely bonkers. Anyway, our poll question today, because I want to get your thoughts on this, and I'll give my answer to this. We'll get Hickey's answer as well. Who was the biggest reason the Chiefs beat the Eagles? Here's the four responses. Andy Reid, the Chiefs offensive line, Patrick Mahomes, or the refs?
There's two. The refs is nonsense. I want to say Mahomes, but I think I would probably go with the Chiefs offensive line.
So I was between Andy Reid and the Chiefs offensive line. And I said earlier, if the MVP was most valuable person instead of most valuable player, Andy Reid, for his coaching and the adjustments that he made in the second half, would have won the most valuable person, but that's not the name of the award. I'm not going to sit here and say we need to change the name of the award. The Chiefs offensive line, though, I do think was the biggest story of the game because we all talked about this all throughout the week. The Eagles, their pass rush, 70 sacks in the league. The Chiefs are second. and they have 55, I thought that was going to be such a big factor in the game. And I know you could talk about, right, the field and how it was a slip and slide, but to still not register, and the other team's playing the same field too, but to still not register one sack for Philadelphia when you have multiple guys on those teams that numbers are pretty damn high up in the sack count, that to me was the most stunning
and
part.
And again, it's also, too, they dominated. In that second half, yeah. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had clean pocket after clean pocket after clean pocket. I mean, they absolutely shut it down. They didn't hold it up. They didn't hold their own. They dominated the line of scrimmage.
And also, you saw it in the run game, too.
Right.
Because outside of Jalen Hurts, the Eagles, their running backs were a non-factor.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird because I was seeing like everyone's conversation about how impressive Mahomes was on Twitter, because you try to stay plugged in when you're at the game, just see what the outside world is thinking, you know, because you guys have the luxury of hearing the broadcast. We didn't.
Right.
And everyone's like marveling over Mahomes. Like when I was watching games, and Mahomes was incredible, don't get me wrong, but I was looking at the way that they were running the ball, and that was the thing that stood out to me the most. And obviously Mahomes plays a part in that with that 26-yard run that he had at the end.
Yeah, and also, too, and I think it's – this is a compliment. We take Mahomes for granted.
Yeah.
We're used to seeing him dominate week in and week out. So when he puts up a performance like he did last night, which was tremendous, it's not Mahomes-esque. Mm-hmm. He's better than he was last night. So we almost gloss over and we go, yeah, he was great and all, but it was, yeah, it's Mahomes. So it was almost like he's on another stratosphere. He has to put up a ridiculous game for us to even mention him, because we assume that he's going to be that good.
It's such a tough... You're right in your line of thinking that saying it's between Andy Reid and the Chiefs offensive line, because I was surprised how conservative the Eagles play calling just got in the second. I know they put up 35 points, so that's tough to say, but I was... The entire second half, I was saying, like, throw the ball deep, throw the ball deep, and they just kept on doing these crossing routes and these dump offs, and then they threw it deep to Devontae Smith, and it got the ball down to the two.
Yeah, you know what? I got to be honest. I didn't really feel that vibe. The three times that Hurts threw the ball deep, minus the heave at the end of the game. The one into double coverage, A.J. Brown had the touchdown, which was a terrible decision, not a great throw.
Good adjustment.
Great job by Brown to be able to get to the football, but you got a corner, kind of got twist and turn, the safety's over. That should have been a pick or knocked away. That shouldn't have been a touchdown. Give credit to the Eagles, though.
Yeah.
The second one was thrown into double coverage, was knocked away, should have been picked off.
Now, was that the Quez Watkins play or the other A.J. Brown one?
I believe it was both A.J. Brown.
Okay, because there was one to Quez Watkins where Hurts threw a great ball and Watkins just dropped it. But on that A.J. Brown one, if memory serves me right, just seeing it from where we were in the upper deck, A.J. Brown was breaking down the middle of the field, and it looked like if he would have just turned right, he was wide open, and he turned left, which was weird to me.
I think they were both kind of like that seven route, that post route. I think they were both kind of the exact same thing. So I feel like Hurts, it was the same ball. It was the same coverage. He threw it the first time. They got a touchdown. He tried it again. I mean, he had a clean pocket. I got A.J. Brown. What the hell? It worked the first time. Didn't work the second. It was only an incomplete pass. Not a big deal. Should have been picked off, but not a big deal. The third one was Devontae Smith, and that was a busted coverage. You see the corner creep up. Smith gets behind him. It's an easy one. Smith did a bad job of falling out of bounds, although Jalen Hurts also kind of led him out of bounds a little bit too much, too. But to me, I didn't feel like it got conservative. I felt like when they threw the ball deep, Devontae Smith was so wide open. You couldn't possibly miss that. The other two, again, were into double coverage. I feel like the Chiefs, they needed to stay inside their offense. I think they did. I think the Chiefs made a couple of stops, and it was simple. It was making him stop on third down to force him into field goal, and they forced him to punt once. I mean, it's not like that. I didn't feel like the Eagles got out of their offense. So I disagree. I didn't think they got out of their offense. I thought the Chiefs happened to blink a couple of plays. Not a lot, just a couple. And that was it. That was the difference in the game, because the Eagle defense couldn't stop them.
And you look back at it, the offense put up 30. I know Hurts gave one away. But if you would have told me where the yards were at, the time of possession was at, and that the Eagles would have put up 35 points and Mahomes would only have 185 passing yards in the game, I thought it was like 9,000 times today. I would have just said, how many points did the Chiefs lose by?
Look, you give the Chiefs credit, and they deserve everything. And it's not like the Eagles played a poor game. They didn't. They dominated in most aspects of the game.
Their defense played a poor game.
The problem is that if you go through all of this stuff, I hate to say it, you know, the holding penalty aside, let's look at it. You dominated the time of possession. You had a lot of breaks. The Goddard one, I still don't understand how he's in bounds on that. I'd have to see a freeze frame. I still don't get how he's in bounds, but they got that call. They got the call on the one with the flip out and it winds up being a touchdown return, and they said it was incomplete. I thought it was incomplete as well, but it was really, really close, and they got the benefit of that because it got turned over. They handed the Chiefs 7 points when Jalen Hurts just dropped the football. He didn't get stripped. He just dropped the ball.
Yeah.
So the Eagles, to me, shot themselves in the foot so many times where they could have ran away with the game.
Eventually,
and they didn't do that. When you let the Chiefs hang around, you're going to get burned. Mahomes is going to find the end zone. Kelsey's going to find the end. You can't let a team that good hang on. And all more importantly, when you dominate and you're at the half and you're up 10, I was worried about the Chiefs in that spot, but I almost kind of felt like you're Mahomes, you're down 10, and you got beat in every aspect of the game. Eventually, it's going to turn your way. This is going to be fun in the second half.
Now, on the holding call, I didn't like the call. I thought it was ticky-tack, but my biggest point is, it's not that, oh, you can't call it in that spot. It's the way that it was being called throughout the game. Like, remember early in the game where Bradbury's same on Juju Smith-Schuster?
Right.
That should have been called, and it wasn't. This was by far and away less egregious. All I asked for, and I know that this is not the way that it goes, and there's so many things we don't know how it's going to be called, is consistency. And with the way that it was called for the first 58 minutes, I thought it changed in the final two.
Yeah, I mean, look, this one could have gone either way. If they didn't throw the flag, would I have been screaming for it? No. Did I hate when it came out? I wanted to see the Eagles with the ball, but that's a selfish thing for all of us. The Eagles with the ball down three, no timeouts, minute and a half. Let's go. Let's see what we have in the bottom of the end of the game. But if you're looking at it from a perspective, like just a balanced perspective with the officials, if they know it's holding, and it was. By the letter of the law, that's holding no matter what you say. Again, even the people that don't want to throw the flag, you can't say it's not holding. You just say don't call the flag in that spot. So to me, I don't like that argument. But if they don't call that, they also affect the game. Because you can't tell me that Juju Smith-Schuster didn't beat him at the line of scrimmage. You can't tell me he wouldn't have been open. And this idea that Mahomes overthrew him because he threw it away because he wasn't open. He would have been wide open, and that would have been game. So this idea that the officials kind of get, it would have been. It would have been a first down. It would have been the same concept.
No, he would have gotten the end zone then.
Not necessarily. If he's smart enough, he goes down. We don't know. We don't know how it plays out. He'd have been open for a first down.
It actually would have been better. If the how it play, I'm just saying, would have been better if the way it played out, the Eagles let him get in.
And if he was in the end zone and the Eagles would have been no timeouts, or I think one timeout at that point, and down seven, then we see where we are.
2 minutes, yeah.
But you can't tell me that he wouldn't have been open. So that's the part that I don't like in this aspect of, well, you can't call that in. The ball would have been one that has nothing to do with, because holding doesn't have anything to do with balls, being uncatchable. But you can't tell me he wouldn't have been wide open. He beat him at the line, which is why he grabbed him. He was smart. He took a chance. If they don't call it, great. They called it. You got beat. Like, you held him. You wanted to hold him.
Would you have thrown the flag in that spot? I know we had to take a break, but
probably not.
Yeah, right?
Probably not. Because I didn't think it wasn't egregious. But again, I can't kill it because it is holding. And you do affect the outcome if you don't call it, because you stop the Chiefs from either getting a first down, which is game, or a touchdown, which is a 7-point lead. You would effectively call the same thing if the official doesn't throw the flag. So it's a weird balanced spot. I probably wouldn't have thrown it, but I can't kill them that they did.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Wrap it up shop. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, real quickly before we get to the closing bell, who was the biggest reason the Chiefs beat the Eagles? Andy Reid, 29%. Patrick Mahomes, 27%. Chiefs offensive line, 23%. And the rest, 21%. Real quickly, what is your answer on this?
I would go Andy Reid.
It's tough. Because I feel like this is a cop-out. I think the biggest individual person is Reed, but I thought the best unit in the game was the Chiefs' offensive line.
It's tough because you could easily make an argument for all three. I could easily argue Mahomes is the biggest reason for them winning. Reed and also the – like, it is – it's not an easy question.
Yeah.
You're not – you know, it's
– Well,
it's tough.
I think Reed and the line have to be 1-2, and then Mahomes would be 3, and then the refs would be 4. And that's not taking anything away from what Mahomes did in the game. I was just more impressed with that offensive line and then also the coaching job in the second half compared to Andy Reid. I also think, and I know it's quarterback up against quarterback, but with the way that Hurts played in the game, not that it takes away from Mahomes, but the Chiefs' offensive line was much better than the Eagles' offensive line, and the Chiefs' coach, Andy Reid, was much better than the Eagles' coach and Andy Reid. So the quarterback advantage, like, it's weird. On paper, they had the advantage, but I thought Hurts outplayed Mahomes in the game, and he just didn't win it.
He did, but in the second half, Mahomes took it to another level that, you know,
one incompletion.
Hurts could not reach and just put them over the finish line.
I would say Hurts couldn't reach it.
In that second half, he outplayed him.
I wouldn't say he couldn't reach it because Hurts, when the game got close, when the game went into an advantage 8 points, you had Hurts then march right down the field, and then on that 2-point conversion, I still don't know how he got in.
No, I'm saying Hurts played really well. I'm just saying, like, that was like Mahomes took to another level. That again, it was just one of those where he took a 10-point deficit into a win.
All right, we're not going to have time here for the closing bell, so we'll do a lot of this stuff tomorrow. But very good show today. Appreciate Howard Eskin for joining us, even though he was, you know, just spreading his propaganda and his craziness. But we do love Howard, and it was good to see him out in Arizona. And only Howard can make this Super Bowl about anti-Bill Belichick. That was actually impressive. I did not see that coming today from Howard Eskin. But how he found a way to push anti-Belichick and then still say, oh, I don't hate Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I thought that was comical.
I like Belichick. That was funny.
Yeah.
Not original, but.
When you've heard it 5,000 times from Howard, you know, we could get a little bit more creativity from Mr. Eskin. And big thank you to Bob Fesco as well. Hot Day Kiki, good job as always. And that will conclude our day after Super Bowl show. We'll be back tomorrow. All throughout the week, we'll try to get some people on from the Kansas City Chiefs side of things, players. Try to go get Steve Spagnuolo on as well. We'll see what else is cooking throughout the week. So be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.